Good morning. Can everybody hear me?
Oh, that's better.
Okay, in the bulletin this morning, you'll have to forgive how it looks a little bit. We had some technical glitches with the photocopier, but it's mostly here. One announcement that didn't get put into it was the Child Abuse Awareness Session. It's a video called Reducing the Risk. It's going to be Thursday, July 23rd. That's this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. here at the church. So again, that's the Child Abuse Awareness Session video. Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 25, verses 1 to 5. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Our first hymn this morning is 497. I will praise him. If everybody could stand, please.
Thank you.
Just before I do the prayer this morning, I wanted to remind people that the help box is up here at the front. And as we mentioned last week, this is for Nellie. And Nellie's house or her home became up for sale back a while ago, and she was able to purchase it. So the help box is here to help her with some unexpected costs that kind of came along with buying a home. And we're really glad that she was able to purchase it because the choice might have meant she was not in the community. So it's a wonderful thing. So it's there for anybody. If we could bow our heads in prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as we would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if we surrender to his will, so that we may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next. Amen. Our responsive reading is on the back of the bulletin. Greater is he. O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You have all wisdom and do great and mighty miracles. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Awe gripped the people as they saw this majestic display of God's power. So I want to take a minute to introduce Sarah Scott. She's with us again this week, and we're very happy to have her. For those of you who weren't here last week, she provides chaplaincy and spiritual services to residents and tenants at Grandview Manor in Berwick and Orchard View in Fundy Villa. She works 2 days a week in addition to doing the Sunday service. And prior to that, she worked at the Bridgewater Baptist Church, and we're so happy to have her here.
I'm so happy to be here. And I was here on time, in fact, early. I hope that was noted. I discovered that your church is a lot easier to find if you go in a straight line and not in circles and not down to Lawrencetown. If you just follow the directions, it works out much better. This morning, the secret was I gave my daughter the map. And so she was in charge of giving me instructions. She's 4 and has a better sense of that than I do. I am glad to be here this morning. And we come now to our time of prayer. So let's gather our hearts all together as we lift up our concerns before the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pause in the middle of summer at a time of expectation of the field and bounty that is before us, a time that often includes rest and quiet, but that so often also includes busyness and stress. We pause this morning to recognize and remember who you are and what you have done, and the fact that we are your people and that we are able to speak directly to you our concerns. Infinite God, stretching your hands across the heavens, sending the water down to nourish the crop, We are so grateful as your people to receive your blessings. And we are so mindful of the difficulties as well that you have used to create in us a greater good. Lord, we pray on this day for our neighbor. You have called us to love our neighbor, and Jesus challenged us to remember who our neighbor was. Lord, as we look back over the past week, we ask for your forgiveness where we have offended our neighbor, whether that be a friend, a family member, a person on the street, whether it be someone on the other side of the world that we have disregarded. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness as we have trespassed against what you have desired for us. Change our hearts, soften our hearts, encourage and enliven us to be your people, to do your way and to walk in it. Lord, help us each day to remember who you are and who we are in you. Lord, we confess that we often stumble, and Lord, that we need your strength. So in times of difficulty and in times of abundance, Lord, may we depend upon you. In times of happiness and sadness, may our joy be found in you. In our times of discouragement and in our times of grief, may we be found in you. We remember those who are going through difficulties. And Lord, may this week you open our eyes to one situation where we may bring your light, one trouble that someone's experiencing that we might come alongside of them. And that's what we ask on this day, that you give us opportunity to be your hands and feet on this day and in this week to come. Nourish us today at your table. Nourish us with your word, from Scripture, and from one another. Lead us in the Holy Spirit in this service to draw closer to you as you have promised to draw closer to us. Father, in the music and in the fellowship, may we hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit reminding, changing, forgiving. Lord, we thank you for this fellowship of believers here, and we pray for their pastor, Bill, as he rests. Lord, at this very hour, may he find refreshment in your spirit so that he may continue in the good work that he is doing here. Lord, may this congregation be strengthened in its ministry. May she work alongside of the other churches in this area and in this province as we work together for the common good. And so we pray for our partners in mission. We pray for the Kenny family specifically. And we pray for the work that is coming up for them in August with the children for a camp. Lord, as they prepare, may your Holy Spirit be working and guarding them against difficulties that might come their way. We pray for the Buston family, and specifically we pray for Bronwyn working in the children's ministries in New Brunswick this summer, and for Caleb on summer vacation. We pray that they might be an outreach to the many different nationalities in that area, that you may bless them and that you may do a great work within them. And we pray for the World Vision child in Zambia. We pray for her and for her community, specifically for clean water. Lord, may you use us to help her. Father, we thank you for this community gathered together. We thank you for the children that you have placed within our care, whether they be our own or grandchildren or the children of our neighborhoods. We thank you for the seniors that you have placed within our care as well. We pray for those who might feel lonely and isolated if they're no longer able to come out to the service. We pray for those in their homes and also for those in long-term care. Lord, we thank you for this little corner. We pray for all of the homes around it and for the businesses too. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your abundance. We pray for the farmer and for the field, Lord, that what might come from it might be a blessing to others. We lift up our hands to you, and we remember our many needs, and more importantly, your many gracious goodness. So at this time, Lord, we pray together with one heart and spirit the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to be singing Wonderful Words of Life, number 406, in your hymnal or on the screen above, 406. As we consider our offering, hear this word from Scripture taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus. I'll call upon our ushers for our offering to be received. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would accept ourselves on this offering plate. Lord, may you accept our offering of our hands and our feet, our lips and our path this coming week. Open our eyes to see how we might be a blessing and a use to others. And accept this money to go to the places where we cannot be. The places here in this community, in this church office, and throughout the world. May this money be a traveling blessing to the purposes of your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I have two scriptures to share with you this morning. And the first one is a beautiful one. Last week, I read from you Romans chapter 8, which is, I would say, my favorite, but it's in a dead tie with Romans chapter 12. And that's what I'm going to read for you today as our first scripture. And it's a triumphant one and one that we can really hold on to. And I'm going to read verse 1 of chapter 12 to verse 16. And there's going to be a lot of sections in here that are very familiar to you. It's a triumphant one. Starting at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 16. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance to the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Our second scripture reading is found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. And if this verse that I just read in Romans is a triumphant one and one that's very familiar, this second scripture that I'm going to read from Acts is the odd duck in the family. The first part will be familiar to you. This is one that's read often, sometimes at times of offering or times of communion when we all gather around the table. This is the story of the new believers all coming together. And it's a very sensitive and interesting time in our church history, and we do spend a lot of time looking at these first chapters. But the story that follows right after is weird, and we don't really pay a lot of attention to it because it's a little uncomfortable. Animals are like that. You know, there's the cuddly animals that we all like. You know, there's the cats and the dogs, and then there's, you know, little guinea pigs. And then there's always those people that love the weird animals. Do you have anyone like that in your family? We have a friend, Vanessa, and she loves weird. So she doesn't just have a rat as a pet. She has a hairless rat. You ever seen a hairless rat? They're ugly. They're like, you look at them and you think, interesting, but not for me. Well, that's what this scripture is sort of like, what I'm going to read for you. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And you're not going to see this story embroidered on a pillow somewhere. You're not going to see the story, you know, written in calligraphy above someone's doorpost, because you look at it and you think, interesting, but a little weird. I'll start. It's chapter 4, and I'm going to start at the end of chapter 4, and then the story part of Ananias goes in chapter 5. But you need to hear a bit of chapter 4 to get the context of it. Chapter 4, verse 32. All of the believers were of one heart and mind. See, it starts out real nice. All of the believers were of one heart and mind. No one claimed that they had any possessions were his own, but shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was on them all. There was no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put them at the disciples' feet, and it was distributed to those who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the disciples' feet. Chapter 5. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back a part of the money for himself and brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And a great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter looked at her. "How could you agree to test the Spirit in the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." And at that moment she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young man came in, finding her dead, and carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And a great fear seized the whole church and all who had heard about these events. The word of the Lord. May it be a blessing to our understanding. Many years ago, it was Christmas time, and I was about 5 years old. And at our church, it was Bridgewater Baptist, we had a white gift service. Do y'all have white gift services here? Do you know what I mean when I say a white gift service? Some say yes, some say no. Did your churches before have one? It's kind of an old-fashioned tradition. And what it is the before Christmas, I can't remember whether it's the week before or even different churches do different things. Before Christmas, what different churches have done in the past is they get presents for needy children. And they're wrapped up in white so that there's no differences among them, so that they're all the same. So the people bring them in anonymously, and they have all of these different white presents under the tree, and then they're given out to the, you know, there's little codes written on them, and they're given out to the different children that have needs. And there's also a white gift offering. And so the little children bring in their little white gift envelopes, and they process in, and they lay their envelopes on the communion table at the front. And when I was 5 years old, I was prepped and ready for my job. I had my little white gift envelope, I had my nice dress on, and I was to walk up to the front with all the other children and lay my envelope in the offering plate. And my mother always remembers this story. Wilma Lorty was holding the offering plate. And Wilma Lorty was a good woman. With, you know, she was one of those women that wear hats and gloves to church. She was old school, good woman. She was holding the offering plate, and she held out the offering plate for me. And I looked at her, and I held on to my little white envelope, and I yelled. I said, "No! I want my money!" And, you know, she smiled, you know, "What do you do?" And I said, "I want to buy a Slurpee." And I took my little envelope and I marched back to my seat. And it's true of everybody. My girls are starting to be of that age where they're understanding what money is and what we do with it. And this past week from VBS, they came home with a little offering box, and there was a sticker on it that said, you know, "Kids to Kids, Nepal Earthquake." And, you know, automatically I knew what this was for, but to explain this to the girls, they could not understand. And Rowan kept putting in, she kept emptying my money out from the, you know, change into this thing, and she's certain that it's for her and for ice cream cones and PEI. It's hard concept to learn generosity. It doesn't come naturally to us, I don't think, as a species. We get it in small children don't naturally get it. They have to be taught it and modeled it of what it means to be generous. Because even as we grow, we remember that it is hard to give to God. It is hard to give our time to God. It is hard to give our money to God. It is hard to give our praise to God in difficult times. It's hard to give ourselves to God. Paul says, "Be a living sacrifice." It sounds beautiful, but it's not an easy thing to do. So Ananias and Sapphira, this little story that doesn't often get told, I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on it, because it's a little weird. They presented a gift to God, and it was a large gift. It was a generous gift. It's a gift any church would gladly receive. They sold their property and brought a portion of it to the disciples, and they laid it at their feet. I mean, what's the problem with that? They brought a portion of the money. Surely the disciples would have been happy to receive it. The money would have been good money to feed lots of people. They could have fed the poor. But there was a problem, and the problem had nothing to do with the money. The problem had nothing to do with the money. The problem had to do with the heart. At the very center of that weird little story is a problem of the heart. Ananias and Sapphira were attempting to play both sides of the field. They wanted both to please God and to please the world, and to please themselves. When they first had the idea of selling the property, you know, it probably was genuine. Those ideas come from a good place, sacrifice for the good of all, and they saw this being modeled in the new Christian community. If not, they would have kept the land themselves or kept all of the money. But it was after they sold the land, once they had the money in their hands, that their heart became, as Paul says, full of deceit. He still, once he had the money, he still could have kept all of it. Peter said, this money was yours to keep. The disciples did not force donations. I saw a little thing on Facebook this week of a church in the States that was making people, you know, pay a certain amount to become a member. Like, you had to pay a certain amount to keep your membership in that church. Phony baloney. That has nothing to do with the scriptures. The disciples never forced donations. When it's talking about the early church community, it said everybody was of one mind and one heart, and this is what they did. They shared together. The problem was that he pretended. He pretended to give all of the profits to the community. He wanted to appear to be totally committed and self-sacrificing. We don't know why. It doesn't really go into details about why he did this. It's interesting that it's connected right after that story of Barnabas. Maybe Ananias, too, wanted to be known and glorified, praised as a benefactor, a saint to the poor. And maybe he wanted prestige. Maybe he wanted a new name. Barnabas was a great new name, son of encouragement. Maybe Ananias wanted a new name, too. So Joseph, who got that new name of son of encouragement, was for his good works. And we know Barnabas to go out as one of those missionaries with Paul. Barnabas took up Mark when Paul let him go. Barnabas was someone who kept on encouragement for good works. And maybe Ananias wanted that too. But he also wanted the money. And so he lied. Peter confronts him directly and says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? How is it that you contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but to God. And suddenly, the appearance that Ananias was so desperately trying to hold up dropped, and everyone saw him for who he was, and he died. Do you remember that old British show, Keeping Up Appearances? Anybody ever watch British shows? Saturday night, Friday night. When I was home, I remember when I'd be home as a teenager, my mom would watch all the British comedies, and I would, you know, roll my eyes and watch them with her, and then I started to like them. And Keeping Up Appearances was one of those old British comedies, and it was this posh woman whose name was Mrs. Bucket, but she pronounced it bouquet. And she was always trying to appear to her neighbors that she was a very upright woman. And the title of the show was Keeping Up Appearances. Well, for Ananias, that moment of keeping up appearances vanished. And this story comes at a really interesting time in the early church. These were dangerous times for the disciples. The story right before, the chapter before, in chapter 4, tells about how the disciples were arrested for preaching the name of Jesus Christ. The chapter after chapter 5 tells about the disciples being arrested again. These were not easy times. These were bold times where they had to go forth boldly. And the betrayal would have still been in their ears. The betrayal of one of their own was under the lure of money, of Judas, under that lure of money, was still very bitter in their mouths. Lying was a very serious crime against their community. And although Peter's words are very stern, it's important to know Peter didn't kill him. We are stunned by Luke's account that the two died instantly of some cardiac arrest. And it doesn't say that God struck them dead either. And it would have if that was what the author wanted us to know, that this was God striking. It doesn't say that. It just says, whew, they died. Perhaps, and there's not a lot of explanation there, but perhaps it was the fear that was inside them, the fear of exposure. I don't know if you've ever had to keep a secret before, but the fear of exposure can be so great, the pressure of that so drastic, that perhaps their nervous system just couldn't take it. Having been exposed, Ananias found their lifelong patterns of being closed people, it didn't even make them consider confessing their sins, asking for forgiveness, making a new start. The Hebrew name for Ananias means Yahweh is gracious. Sapphira means beautiful. But there is nothing gracious and nothing beautiful about the actions of Ananias and Sapphira. They were liars. The problem was they pretended to give all to God but kept part back. And we too often do this. We too desperately try to keep up appearances while inwardly we know that we're not presenting all of ourselves, as Paul encouraged, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. Not only do we hold part of ourselves back, but sometimes we take back what we've already surrendered. It's funny, even today, I can see that in my own life, that idea of sort of, cutting the corners and taking back a little bit for our own comfort. We're going to PEI this afternoon, and we're planning to go right, we always planned to go right after my service at Grandview Manor, which is from 2 until 3. That only made sense. We'll leave right from there. But this week, it's an odd week. The Salvation Army Church is coming to lead the service at Grandview, and it needs to be an hour later because they can't quite get there in time to do it. So now the service is from 3 to 4, and I'm not doing anything in the service. I'm just, welcoming them, and that's it. And I started to think to myself, I don't want to get home at 5 o'clock and then leave for PEI, and then the kids are going to fall asleep in the car, and then they're going to be hungry, and when are we going to leave? And I thought,